This episode is presented by Shaxbury Cider.
Hi, I'm HRN's Executive Director, Katie Mosman Wadler, with a preview of this week's episode of Meat and Three, our weekly food news roundup.
So every day the shutdown continues to grow is another day that there will be a backlog.
This week, we're looking at the unexpected ways the government shutdown has impacted our food system.
There are nearly 1.6 million New Yorkers who rely on SNAP to feed themselves and their families every single day. There is a real impact on our friends and neighbors.
A lot of farmers rely on commodity loans at the end of the year. Since the offices are not open, those loans aren't available to them.
Tune in to this week's Meat and Three on Heritage Radio Network. That's M-E-A-T plus sign T-H-R-E-E. Available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome, everybody, to the show Life's a Banquet, the show that's edible, spreadable, and Zara.
Horrible.
Starring your hosts, me, Brenton Scott, and
me, Zara Tanglora.
A show about ostriches, wine, and dough!
I'm drunk!
Always. Life's a banquet, life's a banquet, life's a banquet, banquet!
Welcome to Life's a Banquet, a show about the highs and the lows of all things edible, spreadable, and pourable with your host, Brenton Scott.
And Zara Tangora. Hi, everybody.
Hi. Hey, welcome. It's me, Brenton. I've just been playing some rugby, and I'm ready to talk about food now.
I like how you think that's the impression of me.
I'm from Wisconsin. Cheese heads, bruh.
I'm from Long Island. Oh, my God. I don't even know what it is.
Yeah, you don't even
know. What it is. Leave me alone.
Hi, Brenton.
Hello.
Sorry How for are teasing you? I love you.
I know. Gosh, I feel my feelings are so sensitive and hurt.
You are a sensitive person.
Well, okay. So let's get down to brass tacks here.
Let's do it.
Oh, my God.
What's happening?
It's freezing in New York City. I decided that this January, I was like, I'm going to be on top of it. I said, whatever Kathy Lee Gifford did is what I want to do.
Perfect.
So I downloaded her very first podcast that she ever recorded while she was still on the Today Show, and it was incredible. I sent it to you.
I listened to it.
I sent it to you immediately. It got me up. I was like, okay, I have to like go to yoga, 2-hour yoga class. I was like, then I have to get a bottle of something, surprise, for today's episode. And I run to this, I run to the store, I run to this, and I get on the subway, and I'm like, oh, it's all moving so smoothly. I'm fast, I'm city biking, I didn't bring gloves and a hat, I didn't care. I was like, I am on top of New York City, type A, screw you. And what happens on the F train? A fight breaks out. Two young teenagers, and they were going at it, and it's just quiet down there in that sub below, of the West 4th station.
Why were they fighting?
The dirtiest stop ever. And they were just mad at each other, and it turned into a physical fight, and they were on the platform, and suddenly they go into the subway.
Oh,
into
God.
The subway, and I'm like, oh, for crying. I was like, hey, you guys, and it's just a couple people in the train, and this one woman was like, stop fighting, stop fighting. And I was like, hey, listen, you guys. I'm like, you guys, this isn't worth it. Think peace, think harmony, think about what's going on with our presidency. I was like, it is up to us to stand with each other. I was like,
you ding-dong.
Yeah, I did. And one guy looked at me. He did. His eyes glazed into my eyes, and he said, help me, man. He's like, and I look at the other guy. I was like, please. I was like, get. And they did.
He said to help you? Like, he thought he was going to get beat up?
They stopped after I talked to them. The mouth is mightier than the sword.
Wow. And congratulations.
Well, anyway.
This sounds like something out of Charles Bronson's New York.
Turns out I wasn't on top of it in New York.
Was it a snap fight?
I wasn't type A because I didn't get mad. And I was like, oh, no, I'm type D. And like.
You diffused the situation the same way Kathy Lee Gifford would have.
I did. I was like, you know, what would. You know, there's mothers and daughters and sons, and we're all anyway.
You gave him a bottle of like cotton candy wine. You're like, just drink this and relax, just like Kathy Lee would do.
Just like Kathy Lee Gifford, she's incredible.
She's a goddess. Brenton sent me this podcast. It was the first episode of a podcast that she did in the year 2013, and it begins, and Brenton goes, "You'll never believe it. There's amazing celebrity call-ins from all of our favorites: Joan Rivers, Cher, Whoopi Goldberg,
Barbara Walters,
Baba Wawa."
And they were fake.
I was also convinced, though, I'm listening to Barbara Walters. I was like, this sounds a little bit like a Barbara Walters impression, but I'll buy it. And she said something really motivational, and I almost a tear came to my eye.
And yes, and then what is that grand motivation?
She said she was fake Barbara Walters was talking about.
I thought it was real. I really did. I still think it's real.
It's not, but it's weirder and better that it's not real, because how strange to have fake celebrities call but not be like let anyone in on the joke. It was very strange. But the fake Barbara Walters said she was like, you know, I can't do it. How do you do a Barbara Walters impression? I can't even begin. She said, you know, Kathy Lee, people want to hear your heart. And I almost cried, but I think it was the most important thing I took away from the whole thing.
Well, they did. And I thought about that, and I thought about how entertaining it was and heartwarming to hear her speak. Speaking of speaking, I want to hear about your week and what's going on in your... What have you cooked? What have you drank? What have you eaten?
What haven't I?
How'd you eat?
That would be funny, a whole nother podcast episode, Bretonian. Well, I didn't eat any people, but I did eat a lot of carbs. I've actually been taking extremely good care of myself lately, but this weekend I just munched and munched carbs.
It's that time of year.
Italian bread, pasta, maybe some cake. I drank a lot. I ate a lot. I laughed. I cried. I had some gluten. So basically,
are you intolerant now
or is it it's just on an emotional level?
Okay.
Yeah, not really on a physical level. I'm just like, I don't need to tolerate this anymore. I'm sick of you.
Yeah.
I am trying to be very healthy though, because other than my white flour, extravaganza,
you want to be really healthy starting right this
week
second.
Because I'm going to turn 35 on Saturday.
Wow. Boo hoo.
Excuse me.
I love when 32-year-olds are like, well, I did it too when I was 32. I'm like,
I'm not 32.
I know, but then I was 35. I'm like, it's getting real, man. Like, it's getting real. No more cigarettes. Just like pot and like only Adderall and stuff. And I was
only butt chugging cocaine.
Yeah. But then I was like, it's, you know, anyway.
Well, I feel it. And it is.
In your bones?
I feel it in my bones. First of all, it's my first birthday with only one parent because my dad died last year. Hasn't listened to the podcast and just wants to get really down right now instead of getting up. But I feel weird about it, and I want to take better care of myself than
him. That's always a good thing.
Also, I'm extremely vain, obviously. And I, you know, I'm noticing tiny wrinkles. Not yet seen a gray hair or white hair.
I've seen them.
My head?
Yeah. I spent a lot of the hours just like, I touch up your wrinkles.
Oh, really?
On your Instagram, I have this program that I can't.
Oh, it's like Keep Zara Young, a GoFundMe.
You're fine. Who cares? It's age. What are you going to do? Go back?
I really wish I could. Well, you know, I'm living in the past a little bit. I have regrets. Unlike, you know, we said before, people who say, no regrets, bruh. I don't like those people. I have plenty of regrets. I'm 95% regret.
I could tell you a couple of regrets I had.
Tell me one.
Well, like the one from last night.
What'd you do?
That fifth martini really did me in. I'm just kidding. I did not do that last night.
Oh, you. What have you been doing this week, Ding Dong?
Oh, making lots of carbohydrates. Bean soups. White bean soups. Those Rancho Gordo white beans. I'm addicted. Addicted. I made scarlet runner bean. I made white bean stew with that ham hock. You got to put the ham hock in.
Yeah.
I used to not do it. Now I do it.
Now you got to do it.
Ham. What else? Oh, I made... Oh, that calamarata pasta. Remember that shit?
I remember it?
It's a shape of pasta that looks like a calamari ring, and it doesn't taste like a calamari ring, and it turns out it's just pasta that looks like a calamari ring.
It's amazing. We used to do it a lot at the restaurant at Brizzy with calamari, because I like the fact that they were the same looking.
Yep, that is kind of fun, too. I just did mine with some sausages. Like a butter sausage sauce.
Oh, fabulous.
Oh, and that spicy sauce, the tomato one where you cut the... chilies in it, like a
arrabbiata.
Yeah, thank you, an arrabbiata.
I'm sorry. do you mean arrabbiata? You know when you're at a restaurant and people are speaking totally normal. This is a deal breaker. Okay, you go on a date with somebody. It's all going fabulously. It's perfect. You're like, I like this.
This
person
is like
so
your
much.
Number one most asked. Like this ask, is this is it.
This is where my brain goes. You know, obviously there's a reason I'm single. I have intimacy issues. I'm like the Jerry Seinfeld of my generation. Nothing is good enough. So you go out to dinner with someone. It's going swimmingly. You're like, this is the thing. And then all of a sudden they order and they're like, oh, hello. Yes, thank you. I will have the tagliatelle, you know, and like say it and like, and a glass of Chianti. That would be a deal breaker
That's
for me.
Like what they did that on Saturday Night Live in the 1980s with the, they were like, yeah, sort of board meeting. Like, who ordered the black bean burrito? I can't get with that. I have something very important too. Remind me about that later, okay, because that's going to tie into something later.
Oh, should we get into what we're going to talk about later?
What else? I was going to tell you one more thing.
Please.
And then I forgot.
We have all the time in the world.
Perfect. Let's take 10 minutes remembering what I have.
Okay. Ding.
Yeah.
Ding,
okay.
Ding,
turns out ding, it's ding, nothing's happening.
Ding. Thing,
oh, wait, am I going
thing,
first? Thing, am I going to tell you thing, about what's going on?
Brenton's going to talk about the topic.
All right. So the reason that I saw the subway fight is because I was on my way to Astor Wines, and I have to tell you, while you're talking, I'm going to tell you something. I went to Astor Wines a couple days ago, and I wanted to know more about sherry. Now, I have been drinking sherry steadily for years, but I didn't really know much about it. I would get a bottle of Fino or Amontillado or something, and I just knew that I liked it.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, I went to Spain a few months ago. I've been to Spain a lot. I went to high school in Spain for a year. So I, you know, I had my little introduction to sherry, but I love it. So I've decided.
Why don't you marry it then?
I actually, it turns out I did. You know what? I don't like sherry.
I love it. And it's so good. But I'm turning 12 this birthday, actually.
These are the worst jokes. So, okay, so check this out. So I go to the store, and I talk to this guy who turns out he's completely over the top, in love, and insane about sherry. He was going off. His name was John Miner, and he was the best. He was great. He was at Astor Wines, so it tells me a lot about it. You know, there's Fino, there's Oloroso, there's Manzanilla, there's Amontillado, there's all kinds. So, and I know that I could bore you with the details. But,
no, never.
But what I'm also going to tell you is that it doesn't have to be terribly expensive. Now, do you want to hear more about, we're going to wait till later, right?
Yes, I'm going to tell you a story later about sherry because if you haven't guessed, today's topic is sherry. Duh.
Exactly. Now, one of our great authors of the world, known as Shakespeare.
Never heard of him.
Described sherry as liquid gold. One of our favorite authors who just celebrated a birthday, Edgar Allan Poe, January 19th, folks.
Oh, H-B-D-E-A-P.
He wrote that wonderful, wonderful short story, The Cask of Amontillado, right?
Boo! Boo!
Where this, like, that guy, he hates Fortunato. It's, I think it was Montresor or something, and he leads him to a giant cave, and he's like, oh, I have a great bottle of Amontillado if you keep going down this dark cave.
Oh, gosh.
And the guy was drunk, and he's like, hey, he's like, it's right there behind the brick, but I'm going to chain you up. And then he built bricks around him, and that was the end of the story.
Oh, he built a wall around him.
But they were joking, like, how boring the story would have been if it was called a barrel of sherry. And he's like, no, we got to change the name, buddy. Like, I like the story, like, where it's going.
That's
but yeah,
funny.
Sorry, we were going off about that. So, you know, sherry, first of all, let's just get down to brass tacks.
Yes.
I've said that two times now, but it's from the south of Spain.
Okay.
Jerez.
I'm really glad you're actually I want to take a little break here. I don't know that much about sherry.
Well,
I like it, but I'm so glad you're really educating me as well as our...
Put on your damn headphones and we're drinking an Amontillado right now.
You know a lot about it, so I'm thrilled. And so me and our two listeners are both
excited. So I'm going to sum this up. A lot of people, a lot of my friends and people that I hear whenever I go to the store, and actually somebody that works for Heritage Radio also said, oh my gosh, you know a lot about sherry. Well, I don't know that much, but I can learn. And basically, you just start drinking it. And I say, Fino's light, right? Because it's fine. It's light. It's easy. And then I would say start like that because that's actually like a wine. They're a little bit higher in alcohol.
Right.
And you can drink a Fino like a bottle of wine. It doesn't have to be in these cute little glasses.
So you can drink it out of the bottle.
You can drink it out of the bottle.
Just chug it.
Out of the barrel.
Oh.
Out of the cask.
Excuse us.
The cask of Amontillado. You take it as you like it. And the whole point is that you just go to the wine store and you just buy a bottle. Now, the bottles of sherry that I have been purchasing have all been around $15 to $18 for a 750 milliliter standard bottle of wine size, right? Great deal. That's how much you would probably pay for an okay bottle of wine anyway, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're not breaking the bank. Yes, you can go up from there, but you don't have to. And I like the Finos. I like the light ones because they're very dry.
Right.
And then the one we're drinking today is an Amontillado. They kind of get more aged. They get oxidized. There's only a couple grapes. Pedro Jimenez is one of the grapes. And then the other one is Palomino. Did I say that right? Palomino. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. See, I'm a pro.
Yeah.
Just Google it. I don't have time for this. Anyway, who cares?
That's our motto
It's from
here.
The south of Spain. It's from Andalusia, and it has to come from sherry. Now, a really quick tidbit of facts is that you know what else they use sherry casks for?
Wait, can I guess?
Yeah, yeah.
Nah, I don't know. What?
For scotch.
I was actually going to guess that.
Scotland, Macallan uses it in a lot of places, and they did this for several reasons. Well, to get some more flavor, to get more complexity. But Spain in 1981, those bastards, they're like, we're going to ban all of our sherry casks from being shipped to Scotland, from, you know, being exported.
Really?
And then they're like, oh, okay, fine, we'll be nice. And then they would dip some sherry into some casks and they, you know, and then be like, okay, it's only been there for a couple months. You know, so I don't know.
Interesting. What do you know what kind of wood the casks are made from?
American oak sometimes. Well, no. American oak and I don't want to quote this, but maybe French oak too.
Okay, that's fascinating. So the sherry that we're sipping on right now, what the first thing that I said to you when we drank it, is that it tastes to me a little bit like shiitake mushrooms.
Oh, they're
Is that?
Well, I guess I would say it's particular to how it's aged. Now, there's a little bit of the yeast that grows on top of the barrels. It forms this oxidized kind of layer. So that's why you get a little bit of, as you get more aged,
right?
It tends to have that, as we call it, like that sherry oxidized taste. Yes. But they don't all have that.
This one particularly tastes very earthy and mushroomy to me in a good way. Mm-hmm. And I mean that we'll talk about this later, but it lends itself to being paired
now,
with mushrooms.
I want to tell you something is that for all those of you that are listening to me right now, I can't tell you enough how fabulous it is to just get a bottle of sherry and, you know, it's just wonderful. And I went to Spain. I went to Madrid, right? And you can go anywhere in Spain, pretty much. And a glass of sherry will set you back about €1.90.
That's amazing.
Like, you can get and guess what? You get olives and sometimes bread and chorizo with it.
That's incredible. Why what a deal.
For that much, you could have 10 glasses for the price of one glass of rosé in Midtown.
It's amazing. It reminds me exactly of the Alligator Lounge on Metropolitan, where you used to get a free pizza with every beer.
It's exactly the same thing.
That really got me through my early 20s.
But you know what else is weird? When you go to, I went to that bar, there's this fabulous sherry bar in Madrid, and I tried to tip, and the guy is like, he specifically pointed to like this weird, like old sign that was from like 1690, and he's like, no tipping.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Allergic to money, the Spanish.
Yeah, well, I don't know. They get their money elsewhere.
Well,
by putting heavy taxes on those oak barrels.
Good for them. Who are we to stand in judgment of the Spanish? Look at what's happening in this country. Now let's talk about politics. Just kidding.
Now hold on. I want to talk about this whole, what's it called again? A shutdown thing? Okay.
Shutdown, schmutdown. Let's get down into it. That's really interesting, Breton.
Well, you know what's so funny is I watched the full Downton Abbey, and the English really, really loved the sherry, and that's sort of how they discover it through port trading and all that. I don't know what it is about the British, but they figured it out.
Yeah,
because they know fabulous things, and then they know how to steal them from people, and then they know how to.
That's what they.
And then they know how to take over the country, and then take over, but never say that have slavery in their own country. They just form colonies, and we're not going to talk about politics. I promise.
All right. Well, while we ruminate on, Brett, for fuck's sake. Good God. Yeah, I can't take, this is why we can't have nice things. Brett may or may not. I'll suck it out. While I'm sucking the sherry out of your pants, should we take a quick commercial break?
Oh, yeah. Is it time? Perfect. Fabulous.
Yep.
Excellent time. I'll get the white rag.
Okay.
This episode is brought to you by Shaxbury Cider, who believe cider can be daring, complex, and eminently drinkable. Located in Vergennes, Vermont, Shaxbury make a broad offering of ciders, from the bright and fruity rosé to inventive small-batch wild apple fermentation. Each fall, Shaxbury takes to the hills of Vermont to forage for the wild and forgotten fruit that make up their Lost Apple Project. Shaxbury, producer of the first American-made Pet Nat Cider, continues to experiment every year with limited edition ciders designed to spotlight locally foraged fruit. To learn more, visit Shaxbury.com or follow them on Instagram @Shaxbury.
Are you enjoying this podcast? Heritage Radio Network has plenty more. My name is Dana Cowan, and I'm the host of Speaking Broadly here on HRN. Every week, I conduct intimate interviews with the brilliant, powerful women in the food world. We discuss their lives, their careers, and the ways in which they navigate the world at large. You can find Speaking Broadly wherever you listen to podcasts and on heritageradionetwork.org.
Oh, hello. Well, I've...
Wow. I drank that entire bottle of sherry and somehow I'm still Sorry, I had to quick take my microdose.
Yes, Breton's pants are off. We're microdosing, and I have a story for you that spans Burgundy, France in the 1800s, the way to Orson Welles, and then straight into space.
Oh, here's the where's the popcorn? Let's go. I'm excited. Oh, well, do you mind if I slip on my rabbit fur slippers? Perfect. I just feel I can listen better. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. They'll match my rabbit for underwear.
Oh.
Okay, so the story begins. This is kind of a weird transition I took. And sometimes when we do the stories, I mean, often we do the stories, it's the highs and lows, and there's a point to it, and it's about, you know, the human experience and about fortitude. This really doesn't necessarily have a point. It's just kind of crazy and weird, and it's about some weird highs and lows in sherry making and this. And
sometimes there's no point.
It's bizarre. So draw your own conclusions, people. We only have 45 minutes here, and I can't fix your whole life in that amount of time. So,
well, but you can try. Now let's
get into it. So,
now what was I going to say again? Okay.
Do you know Paul Masson?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Brandy.
Yeah, the brandy. Yeah, yeah, they also made sherry.
They have a really lovely shape to that brandy. It's very classy.
And their sherry bottle and their brandy bottle was like heart shaped. It's very hard to find now. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's out of print. Actually,
really,
kind of.
They might have nice commercials. I was watching a lot of Reunited commercials.
Yep, I'm gonna get right into those commercials in just a moment.
Okay, let's
so
go.
Paul Masson was an actual person. He immigrated from Burgundy, France, in 1878 to California to try to expand on the viticulture going on in the Santa Clara Valley. And he was known, kind of.
I thought somebody makes the. I'm just trying to fix.
He's like,
what
ahoy,
do you want
to America, to the Santa Clara Valley. For champagne making. I don't know why he came, and I don't care. I do know that he left 2 years later, and he went back to France. And then, to bring this whole thing full circle to our first episode, which is about champagne, he left in 1880 because phylloxera.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. It happened in Spain in 1894.
Right, so that was happening in France. So he's like, I'm getting back to Cali. I'm going
phylloxera
back,
is like
back.
The syphilis of the vegetable
exactly.
world.
Exactly. Right? He's like, oh, Madonna mia.
I'm going crazy.
So he goes back.
Bye-bye, yeah.
And then he becomes known as the king of champagne in California. He makes the first champagne in California. But he also makes a bunch of sherry. Put a pin in this. Paul Masson sherry. So then we transition to our friend Orson Welles, who everybody knows was the star of, or maybe you don't know. If you don't know, now you know. He was the star of Citizen Kane, a movie for the ages.
Rosebud. Is that right?
And even with you. So anyway, Orson Welles, since he had made Citizen Kane, that was a big thing for him. And he went on kind of a downward spiral over maybe the next 20 years until the late 70s when he eventually had to turn to doing commercials.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
well, you know what? Everybody has to do it.
I mean, we're about 5 minutes away from advertising Dracula mattresses.
I know, exactly.
Dracula mattresses for when you want to sleep upside down in a coffin full of bats during the day. Dracula mattresses, use promo code Life's a Banquet.
I mean, I see Sarah Jessica Parker's face all over Europe whenever I go. I'm like, she's everywhere.
Exactly. So anyway, Orson Welles, in this time before, while he was doing commercials.
You're never too good for a commercial.
I mean, Brent and I are happy to sell out at any moment. At a moment's notice, I will do diaper commercials, whatever it takes.
Michael Jackson did Pepsi, for crying out loud.
Perfect. So Orson Welles becomes obsessed with Spanish culture. And he has a house in Spain. He becomes obsessed with bullfighting. Mm-hmm. His best friends are bullfighters. He drinks a ton of sherry. He starts doing commercials for Domecq sherry.
Oh.
But some of his most famous were for Paul Masson champagne. And there's and for his wines. I don't know if he ever did a commercial for their sherry, but he was obsessed with sherry. And this is kind of where the whole thing comes in. So he does a commercial for, this is kind of just a funny sidebar, the low point of his career.
Yeah, yeah. He's
in the late 70s. And there you can watch it on YouTube or wherever you get your video streaming from.
Mm-hmm. We don't support either.
No, we're not being paid by YouTube. Call us. So
got it.
He's wasted. He's so shit-faced. And he can't.
On sherry, probably.
He's shit-faced on something. He looks like he's on heroin, to be honest. He's like, I got it. Paul Masson is the are we on?
Oh my gosh,
so crazy. It's so crazy. It's one of the
did
most
did he go through it? Did they make the commercial?
Yeah, they ended up making the commercial.
Oh,
so
I must watch this.
Anyway, this is just a little background about Paul Masson. It was a brand that people really didn't take seriously. They thought the wine was disgusting. I don't really have an opinion. I never had it. It doesn't look great, got to be honest with you. So then we're going to jump back in time again a little bit, and then it will all come full circle in just a moment. I promise. 1969, a little known man named Buzz Aldrin. Ever heard of him?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He
was second man on the moon.
Yeah, never. There was even a third person.
The moon is teeming with people at this point. Yeah. It's crazed.
The Chinese are all on the dark side of the moon. They're like, hey, they're like, we're already like exporting. Made in China slash the moon.
Slash the moon.
There's already like a production company.
Oh my God. So anyway, he was a religious guy and he held a communion on the moon, mm-hmm. which had a wafer and a little bit of fermented grape juice. So that's kind of the first alcohol that went into space. Then in the 1970s, NASA was trying to figure out a space program and make more moon travel more comfortable because they were like, oh, people are all going to be moving to the moon.
Yep.
Come on, everybody, to the moon. Alice and everyone else. That was a joke about the honeymooners. Clearly went right over your head. No big deal. It's fine. I'm going on with that. I'm moving forward. So
maybe it never looks back.
They realized, don't worry, I'm bombing here, but I don't care. Onward. Yeah. So they were thinking that space food was disgusting. It was inedible. And they were trying to develop a program where it would be, you know, better and more desirable.
Like, we must sell this at more museums for children.
Like, exactly.
They're not buying the...
So they sent the space food to the museums and they took the museum's foods to space. And so they had things like spaghetti and even prime rib.
Prime rib? Was it was it freeze-dried?
No, like, they were having like wet packed things and they also wanted to find a way to get alcohol.
Oh, that's... Oh, yeah, because you definitely... That's...
You need to get drunk on your way to the moon.
Absolutely.
It's like a 45-year trip.
I know, that does seem like a long
time. Yeah,
you
need booze.
Yeah.
So they were rationing out like 4-ounce portions and they're of alcohol for the astronauts to
have. Well, that certainly wouldn't work with me.
I mean, I just drank 4 ounces. I drink 4 ounces per sip.
My mouth holds 4 ounces and that's one sip. So do the math, folks.
Hang on. You want to hear what 4 ounces sounds like? That's right. I'm not even drunk.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's just sherry. I'll wait till you hear mine.
So they decide that sherry is the right thing for the job because sherry has already been heated.
Oh.
And its flavor isn't going to change when they have to transport it into different bags. And it goes through, I mean, it's going to space. So they basically decide that sherry is the thing to use because it's not going to change flavor. And so they have it in plastic bags with little straws. And they put it into the simulation thing where people go into.
Yes.
And that giant the vomiter, right. Basically.
The vomitorium.
And the vomitorium. And so everyone's spinning
around. We call that Z-Force at the county fair.
Spinning around trying to drink sherry. And like the smell of vomit, I guess they never wash it out from the previous trips because the thing that I read said the smell of vomit already soaked into the seats plus the smell of sherry made people vomit more.
Have you heard of Clorox bleach? Like, is that anything?
I mean, where are our tax dollars going if not to buy new seats for the vomitorium? That's what I'd like to know about it.
A vomitorium.
Deep state. What's happening? So did you say that you had some kind of Columbus thing?
Oh, well, yeah. You know, what was funny was, you know, you said something about the sherry not being going bad. And
yes.
I was thinking about it, the more aged sherries like the Olorosos and the Montillados, you can keep those open for like a year or two.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but the other ones, the Finos, go like wine.
Right.
A couple days. Little, if you're at Astor Wines right now picking a bottle, just listen to that little tip. But yeah, listen, Christopher Columbus, wonderful, kind gentleman.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Lovely. I hear he was a lovely guy.
Let's just say he had Spanish pride or Portuguese pride or whatever, Italian, whatever the hell
he was. Get out of here, Chris.
Like, oh, I'm from there. I like that. That one's better.
Boo,
well,
Christopher
anyway,
Columbus.
But he was very intent in bringing on his ships the lifetime supply of sherry. And he spent more money on sherry than he did on any of the weapons.
Really?
Weaponry, I guess.
Oh, Madonna.
That's a little... I don't know.
I guess it's the one good thing
about him. What we're saying is that's how important it was in history, and why are you not drinking more of it now? I don't know, but you starting the second you
Everyone
went.
Needs to drink it. So the sherry that they were going to bring on into space,
I need more
the
sherry.
First alcohol in space, for real, was Paul Masson California Rare Cream Sherry. So it all comes full circle.
Oh my God, that's like the worst.
The ghost of Paul Masson was... celebrating and cheersing terrible champagne and shabby wine.
I picture his
I've made it into space. Blah, 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 blah. I've aimed in space. Never happened because teetotalers and Mormons decided that they were so pissed that there would be alcohol in space mixed with the fact that it made everybody puke that they decided to never, ever do it. So, yeah, it never happened. However, the sherry didn't go to waste because all the people in the Skylab Medical Experiment Altitude Testing Program, which was called SMEET, drank all of the sherry that they had procured, all the Paul Masson sherry that had been procured, and they got their Orson Welles on, got hammered.
And that's what happened.
Also, Russians drink cognac in space. Peace. That's the end of my story.
Just do the math, folks. Do the math.
I add it up yourself. It's a conspiracy. Okay, people? Do it. Write it.
Well, you know what? I can only react to that in one way. And that is just by...
To vomit?
No, it's just by realizing I should go to a distant land, fool everybody, make a shitty product, sell millions, and get a washed-up celebrity to do a commercial for me.
Exactly. Life. Perfect. Rest in peace, Horace and Wales.
Do you know that Charles Dickens fed his pet canary a thimble of sherry every morning?
What a psychopath.
And guess how long that canary lived? 15 years. 15 years it lived.
I feel canaries... like... How long are they supposed to live?
I don't ask questions like that.
I think that they're supposed to live like 100 years. It died of like
a canary fatty liver.
A parrot does.
How long do cats live?
I don't know much about cats.
So
to be
divide
honest.
That by two, add the square root, do
15
a
years.
Fraction that a third, and you got them. And that's how long a canary lives.
Ah, yes, the old canary life.
Canary lifespan 15 years.
Oh wow! Thanks, Matt. So it lived exactly as long as other canaries.
Well, back then, canaries, you know, the lifespan was lowered because they always had to go into the coal mines.
Right, okay.
God, obviously, you weren't thinking about that, Kitch.
That's a very funny story.
Millennials.
I have a question, Bretton, Scott.
Yeah, yes.
What, so in our Chef Recommends segment each week, we tell you guys about ways to kind of use the thing that we have been talking about. So this week, in case you haven't guessed, we've been trying to talk about sherry and
Wait,
canaries.
Are we talking, yeah. Sherry canary.
Can you please tell us three ways to use a canary usefully? A sherry. How do you use sherry in food, Brett?
Okay,
what are your
so
top
let's
ways?
Let's talk about this. So as you can see right now, we have some chorizo, which I saved in my bag. I'm sorry. But, you know, if you want to have a little sherry get together or just by yourself, maybe you're at home, you know, put on some silky underwear.
Ooh, you're feeling yourself.
Sit in your stomach. Lay in your stomach on a wool blanket. Put the pillow under. And grab a TV cart and just put that little bottle of sherry out. And what you're going to want to do is, I love these anchovy stuffed olives. You get that, put on a little tray next to some sliced chorizo. Go to your butcher. Go to, what is it, Murray's Cheese. They even have that nationally now. Ask for some sliced chorizo and get some Marcona almonds. That's it, folks. Yeah. Maybe some bread and olive oil. That's kind of it, right? Or you can have sherry. You could have, you know, sweeter sherry with desserts. And my number one favorite way, right? Like, oh, what do I do? How do I do it? You throw a shot of sherry in a soup. Throw a shot of sherry
in
a
your
cream
shoe.
Soup. No, in a cream soup.
Ooh, that's good. Like and a cream of mushroom.
Like a cream of mushroom. You throw a little sherry in that. You finish it. You know, because they would say the secret to soups is not how you make it, but how you finish it.
Oh, who says that?
I don't know. I just said it right now. But it's true. And you put a little dollop of sherry, just like you were, you know, dropping some... some olive oil in.
Yes.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Also, there's sherry vinegar. We didn't even get there.
Holy shit. I forgot all about
sherry vinaigrette. Okay. Good my God. Other, my final thing, my favorite vinaigrette of all times, sherry vinaigrette, which some people put shallot in and mustard. You can or you can't. Like, just like a vinaigrette, there's variations. You like mustard? Put it in. You don't like mustard? Don't put it in. But, you know, some sherry vinegar, maybe some lemon juice, some olive oil, and then you just mix it up. That's it.
Yeah.
What about you? What's your... what's?
Well, I mean... I guess I'm going to recommend putting sherry, and we talked about this in the hallway with a coworker about, you said you don't like sherry in cocktails. I actually think sherry can be a really interesting replacement in cocktails that normally call for sweet vermouth. So I'm going to go ahead and say some of my chef recommends tips today are, if you are inclined to want to try this out, why the hell not? Life is short. Has anyone seen Bird Box? We're going to die soon. We're all going to start just stabbing ourselves in the neck. Put sherry in your cocktails or don't. What's the difference?
I don't really care. I just said I didn't like it. I'm okay.
Okay. So, like, let's say...
But I'm a Gemini. I might like it tonight at 9 p.m.
Exactly. We're about
I might love it tomorrow.
That's true.
I'll make it. Like, I'll have it on tap in my house.
You are it.
By Friday.
You are it. So, for instance, a Negroni would be a great way to experiment with sherry. Switching out the sweet vermouth for some sherry. I think that could be really cool.
Well, also, here's the deal, too. Like, you put this in different flavor profile. I could give you a Pedro Jimenez that would, like, blow your socks off.
Yeah.
Like,
or right? In a Manhattan, I think, would also be
a great way. They're sweeter jars, so, you know, depending.
I'd say play around. If you're a cocktail person and you like cock.
Tails.
Then you should try putting this in your cock. Tails. So those are, I think, our biggest chef recommends. And I'm totally on board with you pouring sherry in a soup. I think we mentioned this before, but I used to really like Finishing soups with a drizzle of Laphroaig or a peaty scotch. That's a totally different flavor
profile.
Which may
profile. Or may not have been aged in a sherry cask,
exactly.
For example.
But I really do think that drizzling sherry in your soup, a bisque, could really benefit from a drizzle.
Oh my God. Do you know what I freaking want right now?
No.
A crab bisque.
Oh, Madonna mia.
Let me tell you something. This weather calls for... This weather... It's, I mean, yesterday was 3 degrees with a wind chill of -7, folks.
My snot froze in my nose.
I finally, I always say, like, I'm from Wisconsin. I don't need a hat or gloves. Like, calm down. You guys are, like, yeah. New Yorkers, seriously, sometimes with the weather talk, it's like, you guys, it's just cold, right? It's,
yeah. Yesterday was just
But I will
chilly.
Say, I was walking around, and it was intense. And Christ. I have a mink fur, my Russian mink fur hat. I had to untie it, pull it down, strap it over my chin.
Oh, God.
Have a neck warmer, cover my thing. It was intense.
It was horrifying. So this brings me to my next question, Brenton, on our top three of the week. What are your top three things? We kind of touched on this, but what would your top three things be to eat alongside sherry?
Okay. Well, since I just mentioned it, but I will say this again, and if I can't repeat this enough, my top thing to eat with the sherry would be some olives, bread. And then get some really nice, you know, people like the Manchego cheese. It's mostly sheep's milk. Get some blue cheese in there.
Did you make those?
No, they're...
Anchovy stuffed olives?
Yeah, they're from Spain. I have to get them from... There's that store de España.
Is that where you got them from?
Yeah, it's on Broom Street in
next to,
Soho.
Whatchamacallit? De Palo?
Yeah, and you can go on their website and order online with...
Wow, that's really true.
Yeah. Or buy a plane ticket and fly yourself to Madrid or Malaga or Andalusia
Andalusia. So your first number one or your number three thing is olive. What's number two?
Okay. Olives, cream of mushroom soup, followed by I just actually did this before I got here. I made that white bean soup. I heated it up and I poured a little bit of sherry on right into my bean soup.
That's amazing.
With the ham hock. I mean, it was.
Oh, good God.
I don't know what. Yeah.
I guess my invitation got lost in the mail. My top three would be, my number three would be like a piquillo pepper, maybe stuffed with goat cheese and drizzled with a little bit of honey.
I like it. Okay. Yeah. That sounds great. I like how you just happened to like have a piquillo pepper. Like,
You know where they used to have a delicious piquillo pepper situation was at, I'm sorry I said that. It's very millennial of me. The piquillo pepper situation at, what is that bar in Greenpoint that Mike Stankovich worked? Alameda.
Oh,
they have
Alameda.
A lot of nice things there. My second thing, anything with anchovies. So maybe some kind of, this isn't, you know, typically Spanish, but like a baña cauda, warm anchovy butter dip with fresh vegetables.
I mean, that sounds
great accompaniment.
Like a true delight.
And then I think number one would be some kind of like mushroom toast thing, either a mushroom crostini or a stuffed mushroom with some salon, you know, stuffed with some kind of chorizo, I think would be a delicious thing.
That does sound absolutely divine.
It would. So, well, before we wrap up here, I actually have one last thing I want to talk about. I do. We got an email. We get a lot of emails from listeners, and we love them all.
Thank
Please
you very
keep
much.
Them coming.
We've been hearing about the listeners in Germany.
We have a lot of listeners in
Germany
and Australia.
Suddenly. I'm so excited.
But Germany's really popping off. And Florida... We big in Florida.
Well, hello, Florida.
Oh, hey, Florida.
Why don't you donate to our Patreon and we can come and visit you and make you a sherry dinner. There you go.
Yeah, we'll make you
just pay for it and then we'll do it. It's simple. It's simple as that.
Well, this email comes from Nicole, and Nicole
is
from Atlanta.
That was the worst Florida accent I've ever said in my life.
I didn't know you were doing an accent.
I didn't know either.
I don't really know what a Florida accent is. I try to avoid Florida at all costs.
South.
Okay, so this is from Nicole in Atlanta, and she says, "Dearest Brenton and Zara, my name is Nicole, and I'm writing from Atlanta, Georgia. First of all,
sounds like lovely.
I know how much y'all love stone fruit, so next summer you need to boogie down here for some of the best peaches and nectarines you will ever eat. Nicole, we're there."
Did she really say boogie down?
She did.
As if I have a boogie board lying around that I can.
I think she meant more like boogie dancing, like just boogie and woogie, which
you're very good at. Yes.
My reason for writing today is that I was just listening to your Diets Through the Decades episode, and I felt compelled to share with you.
What a great one.
It was a great one. Stop the insanity. I felt compelled to share with you a diet that my mother was on in the late 1970s. My mom was always pretty thin growing up and a total babe until the day that she died. Oh, sorry. Rest in peace. In her late 30s, she became, as many women did, obsessed with being impossibly skinny and took some weird... And took to some weird diets. Through the years, she jazzercised, slim-fasted, and became a total Richard Simmons enthusiast.
Wow.
Aren't we all? By far the most bizarre diet trend that she ever partook in was the AIDS candy diet, spelled A-Y-D-S, pronounced AIDS. AIDS
were chocolate.
Well, I'm about to tell you. AIDS were chocolate bonbons laced with speed. They were diet pills that came in a candy box. So they were, I looked them up.
Oh my God, that sounds wonderful.
I looked them up and they just looked like chocolates in a candy box, but they were speed.
I have a bonbon in the morning. I have a bonbon in the afternoon.
And a sensible dinner.
And a sensible dinner and four bottles of sherry. And I wake up and I feel perfectly thin.
I guess they were.
I want that diet. Well, I am that diet.
They're out of print. So she goes on to say, I guess they were meant to trick lonely housewives into thinking they were indulging while really they were chomping down speed while watching Donahue. This girl's funny. She should be on the show. My mother didn't end up eating AIDS for that long.
Who is this person?
She's Hi, Nicole.
Hi, Nicole.
Hey, girl. One day, my brother and I came home from school to find that in an AIDS-fueled episode, she had ripped every square inch of carpet in our four-bedroom house up while we were out at school for the day. She said she couldn't stand the color anymore and that we needed new carpet immediately. Needless to say, when our father returned home from work later that evening, they had a very civilized, quote-unquote, discussion regarding her motivation to do this, and it seems that AIDS was the key component mm-hmm. in her decision-making. She stopped taking AIDS. The next day, I later found out, and AIDS itself became defunct, as unfortunately, the AIDS epidemic came into play shortly after. Sorry, not laughing about AIDS, just AIDS. That's me talking. I love the show so much. Thank you guys for making my commute so much fun. Sometimes I actually feel like I need to pull over because I'm laughing so hard. You two make food fun, and I always find myself hungry for more. Cheers, Nicole.
Wow. That was quite
Isn't that a great email?
That was a great book. That was a great PDF. Thank you.
No, that was great. Thank you, Nicole. That's awesome. That's a funny story. And if you guys have any funny stories like that that relate to any of our episodes or just about food in general that are silly and funny that you want to share, we'd love to hear them. And if they're funny like that one, we will read them on the air.
Love to answer your questions. Now, do us a favor this week and go to your local wine store or non-local wine store and ask about sherry and discover the many possibilities and glamorous possibilities.
The whole new world.
And that's sherry for you because...
A lot of sherry too.
So thank you very much. And what's any closing thoughts for you?
Well, I do want to say that on a food related note, we are in the midst, this is a serious thing. We're in the midst of a partial government shutdown.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
We're not going to get into the horrors of it, but a lot of people, our friends and neighbors, are being affected and not able to afford food and basic necessities for their families. So there's a lot of things you can do. They do accept at the airport, like for TSA workers, any non-perishable food and gift cards, but nothing with a credit card logo on it. And Food Bank of New York City is a great place to donate your time and money to because they are giving direct relief to people who are being affected.
Yeah, I think you can just go on the website and you can...
Food Bank New York, yeah, NYC, like, yeah.
PayPal, send even $5.
Exactly.
Even a dollar.
I sent $50 before, and I think it's helpful. And if you can't... $1 is fine.
I've been listening lately, and especially because it's winter, and a lot of the country has been hit with snowstorm and everything, that in all seriousness, I'm walking by someone, I'm like, hey, maybe some... You know what? Maybe they do need a drink. Maybe it's just a drink, or maybe mm-hmm. they're asking for money. Who cares what they
Who
want
gives
it
a
for?
Shit? If it's heroin. I mean, don't do drugs, kids, but, you know.
But it's actually true. You can die if you do stop it. Anyway, the whole point is... Just give somebody 50 cents a buck because
exactly.
You know what I mean? I'm like, hey, at least I have a warm apartment.
Totally.
My apartment's too warm. That's my complaint.
That is exactly how I felt last night when I got inside and I'm like, I have to crack the window. And I was like, wow, what a luxury to be able to have to crack your window because you're too hot.
I have my kitchen window cracked so I can cool down my poached red wine pears so I don't have to put them in the refrigerator.
Exactly.
Because I'm too hot.
I had to cool my diamonds by the window because they were boiling inside of my apartment. I said, Zara, you are one lucky girl. Make sure that you save your money and don't share it with anybody.
My saffron caviar was just lying by the window. I had it. Oh, God.
Oh, I had an ortolan that had been exported from France that was just boiling hot lava.
Oh, yes. Well, our sherry is calling our names.
Yes.
And therefore, we must be on our way. So, thank you very much, listeners.
Yes, thanks.
Tune in. Check out the other fabulous shows on Heritage Radio Network.
Please.
You can go on their website, and there's all kinds of cool food and drink shows. There's an unending supply of entertainment popping directly into your ears whenever you want it.
That's true. There are so many amazing shows, and thank you to Heritage, and thank you to you, Breton, because not only do you sound amazing, you look amazing. I wish that everyone had smell-o-vision.
Well, if we had television, I don't know what to
You've
say.
You've got a terrible face for radio because you're too hot.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
That's what my director said. My what? Director. Director.
You're awake. You're awake. Okay, guys. Well, thank you so much. And tune in next week when our episode will be... Dun-dun-dun-dun. You'll have to tune in and find out. Hasta la pasta.
Check out us. Check out us.
Check out us.
Instagram and Facebook. Life's a Banquet, the podcast, the show starring Britton Scott and
Zara Tang Gora. Email us, lifesbanquetshow@gmail.com. Goodbye, goodbye, goodbye.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to learn more about our 10-year anniversary celebration happening all year long, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without the support from listeners like you. Want to be part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.